I'm Serena, I'm an addict. Anyway, okay. I feel a bit anxious, actually. I don't know why. But, you know, anxious. Anxious is one thing that I have. You know, I always had anxiety kind of thing. And I guess it's to do with being vulnerable. You know, sharing is about, you know, rather I can sit here and talk about and lecture on the step, or I can just be very real, because that is the sort of share that I love in recovery, that I love to hear. People to speak from the heart, not the head, you know, because I can't connect with that. So it's what I'm trying to do, you know, connect with myself. But I don't want to cry, you know, and I don't want to be emotional, but I'm going to. I mean, I'm celebrating 24 years of recovery last week. A 24 years is a long time for me, and you know, and I was at home, and I was every year, you know, when another year, I'm blessed to have another year, you know. I kind of reflect a little bit, you know. I reflect on my recovery, I reflect on myself, and I reflect about life and everything. And one of the things that I really struggled with through my recovery is one of the spiritual principles, which encompass all, really, is acceptance. You know, I was thinking about acceptance. But before I talk about that, I want to welcome especially Andrew, newcomers here, you know, and I've been where you've been. I've been here for 1 year. Okay, I'm 24, but, you know, I've been one day clean. And it was horrifying because I was so fearful, so panicking. So I couldn't understand. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I just, you know, stopped using, and I didn't know how to live. And the whole thing, it was such a mountain of things to climb that, you know, it was very scary. And I just let go, and I just allowed this fellowship to carry me, you know. This fellowship, people in here carried me, and it carried me because they understood where I was. They knew how to, you know, carry me. And bit by bit, you know, bit by bit, and then we're here. I am here. And so I want to thank you, my sponsors, the fellowship, the 12-step program, because the 12-step program gave me an amazing philosophy, new philosophy of life, you know, that I probably had deep down in my soul anyway, because I wasn't a bad person, you know. And even when I was using, and I was trying to be spiritual, you know. I was eating health food shop thing, like organic. And I was thinking, like, getting stone and high, I was reaching the gods of the universe. And that's true. You know, I was looking for spirituality, but I was looking in the wrong place, obviously. And but the intent, my nature really, it was driven by that. It was driven by peace of mind, by kindness, by nature, you know, that sort of thing. But obviously the drug turned me into the opposite of myself, you know, the total opposite. And, you know, I became insane. I spent time in hospital, psychiatric unit. I ended up in prison. I became a very, very successful criminal for a while, and then I, you know, hurt my daughter, which is the significant person in my life that I love. I love her very, very dearly. She's 31 now, and you know, I hurt everything that was around me, you know, when I was using. So the first contact really with acceptance, I didn't know the meaning of it, was when I accept that I was powerless over drugs, you know. The drugs control my life. Heroin and cocaine and all the rest, the tablets, drink wasn't my thing, and crime was my thing. You know, all the compound of stuff together control my life and progressively go worse and worse and worse until I remember the last picture. I was scrolling on my floor, which was full of holes, because I removed the piece of wood that was there, and I was hiding these rocks, and I was crawling on the floor, thinking that I had a rock there, and a rock there. Gina, on my own, behind the curtain, with the child that was sleeping in a cot downstairs. You know, there's the picture. That is the freaking picture. And, you know, but the drug didn't work. The drug did stop working. Well, they never worked, but they worked a little bit. But at the end, they didn't work. I was miserable as hell. I was empty. So I came into this fellowship totally desperate, ready to stop using, but not ready to live. You know, I wanted to die, really. I thought, no way. You know what I mean? Okay, I live without drugs because this killed me anyway. I'm killing myself little bit by little anyway. I'm too coward to commit suicide. I just kill myself little by little. This is the addiction for me. So, and then I just kind of, you know, found myself there, and this fellowship rescued me. A member in this fellowship rescued me, actually, and helped me out. So, you know, I got powerless. I know what that means, being powerless over drugs. The drugs control my life, my spirit. I didn't have no spirit left. I could do anything, you know, to go and get the drugs, you know, against me. You know, I could have my legs hanging off, you know. I would go and travel, you know, the country to get a £10 bag, you know, forget my leg. Do you know what I mean? So I was in total grip of this control. So, you know, the only way I accept the powerlessness is because people help me to break the denial. Because even if I knew that, I had to see it written down. It was coming, bouncing out of my eyes, the consequences that I did to myself and to the few people, because there was nobody left around that I love. You know, I just... And by doing the step one, obviously, I understood the powerlessness. I understood, Serena, this is what you become. You know, this is what you do. And so the first acceptance was the powerlessness. And the step two, at the other level of acceptance, is accepting that when I was using, I was insane. Well, we know that. I'm not going to go to all the spiel. Obviously, I'm puking in the toilet. You know, I spend all my life in the toilet, most of my recovery in the toilet. I could have gone to, you know, Timbuktu and look at the mountains. I would be in the toilet. And you know what I mean? The thing is that I'm not insane. But if people ask me, are you right? Of course I'm okay. You know, you spend your life in the toilet. You're okay, puking and this and that, all the thing, you know, we know what's happening. And, you know, but in recovery, as a recovering addict, we're not using, I still need to be restoring sanity on a daily basis, because my thinking is, I have a desire to destruction, I have a desire to chaos, I want instant gratification. You know, I want to have a buzz. You know, I want to have a buzz. I want to be high. So this normal life, waking up in the morning, da 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 da, da, you know, every day, you know, on and on. I'm not built like that. Do you know what I mean? I'm built for a bit of a chaos. And over the years, I caused myself so much chaos, unnecessarily chaos just for the chaos, but I didn't know, you know, not purpose, I thought, I can't curse. It's because this is who I am, you know, that I'm not just an addict, I'm also another person, yeah, but this addict thing, when it's powerful, want that chaos, do you know what I mean? So, and you see my thinking that manifests, you know, I can distort reality. I can distort reality to the point of insanity. So, the fact I've done the step two, the first time treating here, doesn't mean that my brain is restored to sanity. You know, is maybe not insane as it was, but is destructive. You know, just by a thinking and obsession that come into my mind, I can ruin weeks and weeks and weeks of my life, you know, because of this stuff that's happening here. So I accept that I'm an addict and I'm powerless over drugs. I accept that I have a disease that is in my head, the way I think. And the third level of accepting is that, you see, I need a new management. My sponsor used to say, Serena, you need a new management. Because I think I control everything, my destiny and everything. And then divorce, I ended up in hospital to have a surgery, very severe one. Then, you know, people die, friends in recovery disappear, you know, job, money, you know, I'm talking about reality of life, you know, things that happen, challenges that happen, illnesses, physical, this and that, things that I have to manage, my OCD, which is another mental health that some people have, you know, other things. All of these, you know, it's okay to turn my will and my life over the care of God when everything's sweet, but, you know, when things hit the fan, man, life, like everybody else, not just addict, we are human beings, you know, everybody else deal with that. What we do, we inject, you know, 2 grams of heroin. Other people just sit with the feeling, get on with it, whatever. We don't do that. So to actually master that, I need to have something that's higher than me that I can feel that it will pass. I forget that when I'm in pain, and I've been many times in pain in recovery, things pass. And I have to tell myself, but if I don't have a spiritual dimension outside this self of me, then I can't do it. Then I feel I can't cope. And when I said I can't cope, I don't care. That, you know, those words, I don't care, I can't cope, fuck it, excuse me. That is the core of my addiction. That is the words I remember when I was in extreme distress, in a desperate style. And I always listen, they like traffic light. When Serena said, I don't care about this, I know that is the world, you know, the core of where my addict is kind of feeding. And my addict feed on emotional stuff because I use, because I didn't want to feel. I just want to feel high. I don't want to feel anything else. I don't even want to relate to this world. You know, I come with a script in this world that the world is hostile. People are this, the nothing, well, you know, very negative for whatever reason, not just because I'm an addict. But so for me to change that, I need to have some loving things up there that I need to trust, you know, that I can say, well, is this helpful, Serena? You know, is this way of thinking helpful, you know? And then you're moving on, you know, to step 4, which is the accepting of myself. The fact I'm an addict is one thing, but also I'm a person, and we're all different here. We come from a different culture, different upbringing, different thing. You know, we got that in common, but we don't have everything in common. And my journey in this recovery business, with step 4, I find out who I am, you know, and I keep on finding who I am. You know, I've done a lot of step 4, not just one. And there are patterns that I have that I need to really be aware of it, because those ones tip me over. You know, they tip me over, they make me very unhappy, make other people unhappy, and I can become a monster to humanity, you know. And one of these is I tend to, you know, I'm recovering because I was forced to be a Catholic. I'm recovering from that one. I'm recovering, and no disrespect to any Catholic, yeah, please, don't take it personal, but I had to recover from it. I'm recovering from serious of sexual abuse. I'm recovering from, you know, addiction. So I'm not just recovering from addiction. And sometimes these things get together, and they affected my life. And with work in the step, I was able to deal with lots of other aspects of my life, you know. But I mean, the patterns is the, you know, the one I've got. I'm a chronic control freak, perfectionistic, and I am, you know, I can go to the victim mode, like where I think all my life, you know, I lost my job, but millions of people lose their jobs. There are 3 billion people unemployed, but me? You know, I lost this, and I lost that, you know, and this, a divorce. Well, how many people divorce? you know, and it become this kind of thing. So I need to be really careful with this. Pattern is always there. They're trying to create, because if I go down, if I allow myself going down to this core of thing, you know, I want to use. This is why I'm doing all this work. Because if I go too down, man, I want to use. I'm not going to see anything else. I'm not going to sit with all this grief. No way. I'm going to sit with all this grief. I don't want people sitting with the grief. I don't want to. So I need to kind of, you know, check myself. But then the harder thing was for me to accept that actually I'm an amazing person. Huh. An amazing mother, an amazing professional person. People love me and all of that. All these beautiful things started to myself. Actually, it was harder than accept the pattern of distraction. You know, these are funny, more fascinating. But to me, I mean, nice, but, you know, and all of that. So step four is the acceptance of me, whatever, you know, is this, is that, is bad, or whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's bad or good. It's just what it is, you know. And the six and seven is about the character defect and the shortcoming. I mean, I came into the recovery, I thought I didn't have any, like most people. And I thought I just was a bit like, you know, anger or sadness. Feeling, anger, sadness, character defect, what are you talking about? Me, pride is the bigger one of mine. False pride, you know. You know, would I want people to see really who I am at the beginning? No, I pretend to be somebody else. Would I wanted to tell people, please help me? No, because that was equal, you know, you're weak. You're weak, you're vulnerable, people are going to take advantage of you, you know, love hurts and all this crazy stuff, you know, I don't know where they come from. Well, I know where they come from, but they're not real. And self-centeredness, because, you know, obviously I want to control, you know, because when I control, the world is like that, you know, like this key ring. They're all like this, you know, somebody come there and kind of move my world, and, you know, it's a matter of, you know, becoming humble, open-minded, you know, all this beautiful world, which I have to work very hard. Because I tell you, when I work on that, actually, I feel much better. When I'm caught up in this thing, I don't see anything. And everything touches us and attracts negativity, basically. You know? So it's like, you know, the character defect, I had this and I have that, then this one go, and then the other one come back. I don't remove it. The fellowship remove it. You know, the love of the higher power remove it. I don't have the power of removing, because when I am into that kind of things, which is driven by fear, it's all about fears, you know. The fear, you know, I become really arrogant. Why? If you look underneath, because I'm envious, you got so many things, you know, and I don't have it. Why do you have it? You know, it's all that kind of, you know, the more you work on the step, the more I realize what is that. Is the fear is about letting go of the fear, you know. And today, I could say I don't have many fear. Today, I can say most of the time I have peace of mind. Today, I can say if I go on to the character defect and I'm locked into this, somebody will tell me, usually my sponsor, Serena, where are you? You know, what are you doing? This is self-centered. This is arrogance. This is, and I go, oh, no. But, you know, it's true. So I remove it. And, okay. Amend, I made all my amends so far, except for some, you know, I used to be a criminal. I work in lots of institutions, from social service, youth service, probation service, prison, blah, 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 recovering houses, blah, blah, blah. And I made a lot of the amend in that with that. And the bigger amend I made it to my daughter, because I've been 24 years in recovery. She had a clean and sober mother, but not just that. She's got a mother that's got a lot of depth, knowledge of emotional stuff. And I've been able to be there as a parent, you know, like beyond what parents do. And she recently split up with her boyfriend, and she was in tears. She was talking to me. And I know, I said, you know, I wish I could take your pain away, but I can't. It's something that I am here for you. But it's, you know, apart from me giving you a hug, you know, because I know the reality. I know the reality of stuff by being in hell, because, you know, we've been in hell. So we come out of hell, so we know how the emotion, and I say, it's good that you're feeling, it's good. You know, all this stuff, the fellowship teach me how to deal with me, and now I can deal with the world, you know, and especially my daughter. And she's getting better, and I am there, and she knows. She says, I'm so proud of you, Mom. And I, you know, you've been a great strength for me. You're my hero. You know, I don't know. Do you think I feel I'm a hero inside? It? Nah. I still feel that I'm faulty. I don't know. You know, while we got this self-esteem, you was talking, self-esteem, it takes bloody ages. honestly, it's the core of the thing. And then step 10, you know, is about doing my inventory, you know, daily. Do I do every day? No. Is a good idea? No. I know when I do it, when I sit and every day I take an inventory and I can let go of all the stuff and I understand with them and I'm focused, like I wasn't focusing, I went to the main toilet when I entered into this building. You know, these things happen, you know, you find, oh shit, because, you know, I'm no focus, I don't take stock, then my life is terrible. You know, I'm judgmental, I'm crazy. You know, but when I do the right thing, you know, it works, you know, but I'm not doing the right thing all the time because I'm a rebel, because, you know, and I make chaos. I like the chaos. No, I like the chaos. That like is the wrong word, but it's driven by this nature of mine, of an addict, that let's make, you know, everything is sweet, everything is working, my daughter's fine, I'm not fine, yeah? Let's make a bit of chaos, so, you know, because it's too boring. And it's crazy. And, you know, and I think I have about 5 minutes. Step 11 is my favorite step because I can never do it. I strive for it. I strive. The first 10 years of my recovery was about a day at a time. Then the second part was to practice, to be in the moment, Charlie told me that, to be in the moment, you know, waking up, you enjoying the breakfast, you enjoy what you have, even if you don't have, you don't look what you don't have, you look what you have, and, you know, you enjoy your bath, you enjoy, you know, all this, like, it seems like holistic, spiritual, different level. And it's tough, because looking after me, oh, this is the thing. Looking after me, loving myself, and not in a stupid way, you know, not loving myself. So internally loving myself, give myself time, give myself a break, be able to say no, boundary, recognize when, you know, I'm tired, recognize when, you know, tough stuff, but I'm ready now. I become ready now to really beginning to live my truth, to live me, to live for me. You know, I've done the mother, my daughter is fine. I've done this and that and that. Now it's about me and about me. And it's tough for me. I know it's not as tough as Andrew that just come into the fellowship and I hope you can get something from it and I don't put you off. All of this. All of this, you know, it is an amazing stuff. And we are so lucky that we can do that because we are very special. And I don't want to sound funny, but, you know, we are very attractive people to the world. Do you know, if the bloody politician, I know we don't affiliate with them, will have the 12-step program, there will be no war, guys. There will be none of this rubbish, yeah? So what I'm saying, this program that we have is amazing for life, you know? I'm talking about how to apply the 12-step in recovery, you know, obviously. Because this is what I'm trying to do, to apply the step into my recovery, into my life, into all aspects of my life. So the step 11 is about a serious surrender of, you know, people. Some people meditate, some people do this. It's up to you what you do and what works for you. For me, you know, it's just about silence. And it's just about connecting with my conscious. My conscious got all the answer, you know, down there. If I could just allow myself to just be honest, pure, and just connect. If I can connect every day with this, I connect with something higher than myself, and then I don't have to do anything else. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to do anything else. Because my attitude to things, even a tough one, is just going to work out. But can I really do that, master that someday? Most of the time I can't, because I'm too neurotic. You know, and I'm too kind of, you know, it's too nice, is it? It's too nice. But I get that, you know. But what I have is the desire. Is the desire to get there, because I love peace of mind and I love to be in harmony. I didn't come in recovery to be miserable. I don't come into recovery to be, you know, in crazy relationship or stuff like that, you know, I'm hearing, or madness. I don't come into recovery for have a boss that abuse me. Do you know, I'm putting in, you know, a working environment. You know, I don't come into recovery for that. I don't want that. I recognize that. I've been there. So I come into recovery to give to the fellowship what I can, to help people, to help myself in the process, and to connect with the world, you know, and to find me, you know, the myself. And so far, I'm free. I'm so free. You might not like me. I don't care. You might like me. Fine. You know. You know, some people love me. I find it a bit difficult to accept love. But I mean, I try my best. Do I have be a problem in intimacy, you know, be intimate with people still because of my issue, because of whatever. But, you know, I have the desire, you know. And all of these, you know, the magic is that actually I'm free. I don't have to use. I don't say I don't want to use, you know. I'm not one of these addicts that said, oh, the using's been removed. No. You know, the other day I went with a friend of mine, they were all drunk, and I thought, look at that glass of beer. Isn't it lovely? And then I thought, oh, where is that coming from? Ha ha. You know, so, you know, I'm still attractive, you know, to certain mood altering stuff that I see around. And I'm still attracted to certain people that look in a certain way, you know. But the longer I stay in recovery, I guess the more I work the program, the smaller is the disease. You know, if the more spiritual I get, the more strength I have to keep this at bay, if it makes sense. And this is why I'm doing this journey here into self-discovery. I don't know what share I'm doing. I hope... He's sitting next to Charlie that I love and I adore and I have so much respect. They give me this kind of vibration of spirituality. I really mean it in a good way, Charlie. I'm honored to sit next to you. And, you know, and I want to say that spirituality is the foundation of my recovery. It's foundation that the 12 step. So people that have they're indifferent and they don't connect with that sense. It doesn't matter, you know, I made so many mistakes in recovery. I have another 2 hours talking to you, the crap I've committed in recovery and the hard time I gave myself and the pain I caused myself. And, you know, I have, you know, I was doing kickboxing when I was 2 years clean. I nearly ripped my muscles all over my body, you know, because I want to be trim like somebody, I don't know who. You know, and then I worked myself to the ground. You know, I became a workaholic and nearly killed me. I ended up nearly in hospital for exhaustion. You know, this is what I'm saying, the cross addiction, how they come. You know, I spent more money than I had, you know. Death in the bank. You know, all of this using, you know, to try to fix this kind of, I don't have debts now. I'm not workaholic and I'm not going to the gym. But, you know, I went to all these, what I'm trying to say, all these different things, you know, not knowing there was just a fix. I needed a fix. You know, where's my fix? You know, where's my fix? A relationship, wrong relationship, you know, not too many. But the relationship nearly killed me. You know, trying to make it work, something that wasn't working, and wondering why I was so unhappy. Trying to make this work. Serena, it doesn't work. And you see this, the two things don't go. But I'm going to make it work. You know, and they nearly kill me. It's not working. It's not working. It's nothing wrong with the person. It's me. It's not a problem with the relationship. I know a lot of people talk about relationship, recovery, relationship. You know, it wasn't to do with the other person, it's to do with me. I'm the one that opened the door to hell. Do you know? And now I'm thinking, this is hell. How does that happen? Because this is hell. You open the door, and I close the door. No, let's go. Let's be more. And maybe, you know, I've done all of this kind of thing. But now I'm free. I'm single. Maybe this is why. No. No, I'm not single for choice. It's just, you know, I'm going to say I'm happy. You know, I don't need any fix outside myself to feel in peace with myself, to be happy. And I think I got 40 minutes exactly, yeah? And I thank you all for listening. I really hope I give something, especially to the newcomers. Sorry I didn't talk about the drugs and the hell, but I've been everywhere and with the hell in all form and shape. And thank you very much. Thanks.